Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Terrible podcast. We talked about things that were going
hello.
On. Hello. Hello, hello. I can hear myself.
Yeah, I got it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, I mean, after the last podcast, which was all just terrible, terrible gaming news, now we can actually talk about, you know, Empire models in various conditions.
Yeah, would you like to buy some Empire models? They're in various conditions. We talked about Warpath.
Oh, yeah, we already talked about the Warpath.
You know, this Griffin has no dick, nor does it have a giant Griffin vag.
It all depends on, like, who's sculpting. Certain sculptors demand genitalia on all their models. Other sculptors want no genitalia on any of their models.
I mean, I just like some genitalia. Like, there's none. Like,
well, you know, this
griffin is a nothing.
Well, here's the question with a griffin. Is the genitalia bird genitalia, or is it the lion genitalia?
I mean, either way.
No, because it's important a distinction, okay. Because a lion genitalia would be visible.
So the
genitalia probably would not be.
The only reason a cloaca would be not visible on a bird to the naked eye is because it's covered in feathers.
Yeah.
Where its genitals would be, whereas the lioness has no feathers.
It's true.
So even if this had a bird cloaca, it would still be visible.
I'm not going to argue there.
So this is just, and it would have, I would say also on the initial part of the question, I would say lion genitals, because that's the lion body. Just like, you know, if you were a centaur, you'd have a big horse dick. You wouldn't have like a human dick, which would be really weird. Like a little, unless it was like a human dick, like at the front, like where like a normal person's dick would be. So you're like,
centaur's got front dick.
You've got a front dick, so you have to wear like pants on your front half.
It's so vulgar.
And so I guess like the back end would just be an anus.
Yeah.
Also, which this is lacking. So yeah. this I imagine cannot procreate and
poop.
Does not poop.
No. Well, I mean, I that griffin is so ridiculously large anyway. It's stupidly large. That
yeah, it's big.
Yeah, so you're dumping out how'd you get all this Empire stuff get into your hands?
My brother-in-law.
He's just dumping it.
Yeah, he's getting rid of all of his minis. He's done.
So
I got Empire stuff, Beastmen, Tomb Kings.
Could I interest you in some Tomb Kings in various
conditions? They're also in various condition. Everything's condition is fucking various. Japanese, the Japanese are not in various condition. I've officially located every part. They are partial prime, but they are complete.
Yeah. You
failed me miserably relating to the Japanese.
I couldn't find anybody who wanted
the
them.
One guy who played that shitty game would have access to someone interested.
You know, the thing is I have my play group, and I hate like
people. You hate your play group?
No. I hate talking with people outside the play group who also play the game. You know, I don't want to make friends. I just want to play with my play group.
You know, you just reality TV'd it. Like, I'm not here to make friends, man.
I'm not here to make friends.
Here to play the game.
I'm here to play the game. Learn how to play the fucking game. Then we'll talk.
We're here to play the game.
Oh, that's the Empire book. Okay.
Yeah, there's the Empire book. There's Tomb King book. I actually have a bunch of Imperial armor.
I have all the Imperial armor stuff.
Yeah. Really? You still do?
Well, what am I? I'm not.
Your hoarding is a problem, sir.
It really is.
You, Joe, have Imperial armor books right now that, like, I have an excuse. They're temporarily in my possession.
I have all.
They're not mine, man. I ain't keeping them.
You're talking the Forge World ones, right?
Yeah,
the big
thick
ones. I have 1 through 8 at home.
That's still unacceptable. Even if you just had one, it would still be really like highly dubious.
Actually, the model the master model class book that they have, or model making book, whatever. Those the two of them are incredibly useful books for doing any sort of like tank modeling or anything that involves like a spaceship or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you take the glue, you stick the glue, you put the thing together, you spray it black. Done.
Done.
It's night camo.
Remember the G.I. Joe when they used to repaint the vehicles, and they'd be like, this is the silver force, and
yeah,
it'd be all in chrome.
The snow version?
Yeah, the snow version.
It's
everything
like, oh, this
white.
Is the snow version. It's like,
but they also had one that was like the night force. Do you remember night force?
Yeah.
And everything was just black with like... And like it would have like neon orange like trim on there.
It's IRL palette swaps.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah,
it was a cost saving measure for video games, and it's a cost saving measure for, you know, actually it's a profit generating measure, because a lot of those. I mean, it's been a while since I've been following anything with toy collecting, but from what I understand, a lot of those variants, like the snow version of this like truck, they were produced in way less amounts because they're just like a buffer item. So they're like, we don't have anything for this quarter in this category. Like, we need a vehicle, and like, we have nothing new because the thing we're working on is not gonna be ready for this quarter. What are we doing? It's like, well, let's use this sprue we already have, and yeah, we're gonna make this and do it white. So those are produced in smaller numbers. So a lot of times those become ironically sought after collectibles because they're the ones where you're just like, this thing's just the Jeep painted white. Like,
how am I going to use this for my Slaughter's Marauders?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, don't get on GI. We can't get on GI Joe again. The listeners like it too much.
They're going to talk about GI Joe.
The last time, remember we just like
casually mentioned GI
Joe for like
a
couple seconds. Talked about a fucking rule set for GI Joe, and it
blew up. People want it.
The GI Joe boner is strong. It's real.
But you know what? I think there was something to be said about that because I think there is a market for asymmetrical minigames.
Yeah, it's never been done.
Well, I mean, it's been done, but it's never been done well.
I've never seen one. It's never been done is probably, you know, something's always been done. Like, you think you have a sweet idea? Someone's got it. They did it. So someone with money has produced it.
Yeah.
And they don't give a shit about your idea because it's worthless without cash.
It's been kickstarted with really shitty art.
Yes. Finally.
Finally.
Yeah. I don't know of any asymmetrical minis game.
Yeah.
Other than, like, unless you consider, like, playing a campaign 2,000 point versus 1,000 point, but that's not.
Asymmetrical is, like, wave of goons versus hero.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Right.
You know, like Samurai Jack style. Ooh, Samurai Jack. I mean, yeah. Samurai Jack.
It was always robots, though.
You can have them fight robots.
So what? There's the Aku faction, which is just Aku. So the real cheap-ass guys will get into that one. And then the next cheap-ass guys will get Samurai Jack.
And he'd have the Scottish guy, too,
and then
whatever his name is.
And then there's the robots, which is the very expensive faction because you need a lot of models. No, the robots. And then there's also robots. And then there's... Robot Gulliman.
Gulliman. In case you can't tell, we really don't have anything to talk
about. There was a big thread I saw with a bunch of Lemon Russ pictures, and it was a bunch of pictures of lemon tanks. It was fantastic.
Lemon Russ. It's my Lemon Russ. I got
that fucking guy.
Conversations
overheard at the game store.
Actually, I got propositioned for commission work at a game store again. Ooh. By a rich dude, and I want to know part of it. I was just like, I'm done with this.
Get out!
I don't
want to.
You can keep
your money.
Your bourgeoisie money does nothing for me now.
Nouveau riche, you think you're so good?
I'm not gonna paint your pulp figures and your cavemen.
You know what? Actually,
he did say, like, when I heard about it, like, I was like, originally I was through what's it called in Shadowrun when you have like the guy that sets you up on the jobs.
Fixer.
Like my fixer, like the guy who normally hooks me up with commission work called me up. He was like, you want to do this? I'm like, he's at a Games Workshop store. This probably means that it's 40K, so no. But it turns out later it was like, I was like, well, what did he want me to do anyway? And he was like, oh, some 28 millimeter barbarians. I'm like, oh, that would have been pretty cool.
You blew it.
I did. I mean, it's not like I would have done it anyway, but I was like, oh, that could have been.
You ever consider taking a job and just doing it really shittily? Like, don't take money. Like, you don't take payment in advance. Just ask, like, they say, like, I want these Marines to be purple and green, right? And you don't ask, you're like, no, I take money on completion. I pride myself in my service upon completion. And then just do them super shittily, not in any way how he wanted. So, like, he wanted blue and green, so you just paint them, like, minotaurs. Like, just copper with, like, verdigris and shit.
Oh, God, that's so bad.
And you hand paint, like, the minotaur, the fucking minotaur chapter symbol. So they look great, but they're nothing like what he wants.
Just have it do it like the paint job would be really shitty, but the minotaur on the arm pad would be perfect. But it wouldn't even be a minotaur; it would be like a Holstein cow head, like
sure.
The white with
what
the
else?
Black and like
what a, else? Yeah. But I mean, you paint them like
it'd be a big udder right
there.
Out of,
you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The emperor's
with a little milk squirt.
The emperor's teats. Right. Milk for the milk god.
That's soon. They got rid of Slaanesh because Slaanesh could be possibly considered offensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, whatever.
Korn's next. He's gonna be all about. I think they're getting rid of the blood part. It's just gonna be about skulls.
Skulls for the skull throne.
Okay, nah, skull throne might be inappropriate to people who can't sit. So
what was that tower thing that they have? That they have the skulls throwing the tower up of skulls.
I don't know. It's fucking ridiculous. It was like the Tower of Pain or something.
Yeah, they have skulls that are throwing up skulls.
Yeah.
So as I said, we really don't have anything to talk about tonight.
Speak for yourself. I got all sorts of things to talk about. I've been firing off left and right. I was talking about the lemon rust.
casual gaming observation podcast.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what the people want.
Yeah, because I've been.
I mean, we covered all of the news in the last cast, and there hasn't been anything new, really.
No, not you really.
Know, the Game of Thrones LCG second edition just came out. That might be exciting for some people. System's pretty good. The show's not on you. You can't do the song.
Meow, 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 meow. No. Yeah, I've actually played a couple games of the LCG. It's not bad. It's nothing I would... The problem is that game, like, at least maybe the first edition, was so deep into the packs. Like, there were hundreds of packs for that game. It was impossible to get into.
Which is why one of the other things Fantasy Flight did... I mean, this was a while ago, but Fantasy Flight, they're rotating now. They're doing set rotations. So, like, blocks will eventually push blocks out, which just makes fucking sense.
Yeah, and I don't like the artwork in that game. It's
I don't know. I would have... Second edition probably has all new artwork.
Really, you think?
So, generally, yeah. I mean, the art assets they were using for the first edition, for the most part, for a long time, were just reduxes of the CCG.
I always hated, like, the artwork in the Game of Thrones, like, the Song of Ice and Fire LCG, always looked like Hildebrandt art from, like the Lord of the Rings Hildebrandt art, where it was like Boromir has like a jaunty like Robin Hood hat with a feather in it, you know. And it's like you'd be like the card would be Ned Stark, and it'd be just like a guy dressed in like a big blue tunic that would have like it would look like a wolf head, but it kind of looked like a dog on there, and he'd be clean shaven, and he'd have his hair kind of like in a pageboy haircut, and it would just be like that's not Ned Stark. I don't know whose interpretation of this is, but I don't like it. It makes me feel awkward.
It's weird that you said Boromir and then you said Ned Stark.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. The Boromir was that one, but I'm saying then you get a card that would be the Ned Stark.
Boromir.
Ned Stark. I see what you're saying. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's...
It was burned in. Yeah. It was burned in.
Maybe, I don't...
It was just burned in. You couldn't help it.
No.
You actually couldn't help it.
Yeah, wow.
The Bean. It would be ideal if they did... just straight up Sean Bean likeness for all of the Boromir cards in the Lord of the Rings LCG, and then also Sean Bean likeness for all of the Ned Stark cards in the Game of Thrones LCG.
Poor Sean Bean.
Poor Sean Bean. I'm fairly certain he's wealthy, Joe.
But he died in everything. Except National Treasure.
I'm pretty sure
arrested.
He paid a lot. Actually, there's a movie where he's the villain. He's like an axe murderer or some shit.
National Treasure.
No. He's like a serial killer, and he does not die. No. Spoiler alert for whatever movie that is. Don't know what it is.
Silent Hill.
It's not Silent Hill. He doesn't die in Silent Hill.
Yeah.
But he also technically doesn't actually get into Silent Hill.
No.
He's his wife goes into Silent Hill, and he tries to find her in the
real
world.
Played by Naomi Watts.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I never actually saw it.
It's pretty good. Much better than I expected. And I actually really like... People shit on the second one kind of hard, but I actually like the second one a lot. The effects are really cool, and it had good 3D gags.
Never played Silent Hill. Ever.
They're really dated at this point. Like, there's people who are like, oh, you should play them; they're real good. And it's like, no.
I don't think I've ever actually played a horror game where I've been like, that's a good topic with horror games because we're near Halloween. But I've never played
spooky
ghosts. I've never played a horror game where I've been like, ooh, I'm scared. Ooh,
PT is pretty fucking intense.
PT.
Yeah, that's the playable teaser. That was the teaser for Silent Hills.
Oh.
That one's pretty fucking intense.
Are you still sad?
I'm not sad. I haven't ever been sad. I've been fucking annoyed and mad.
Is your butt hurting?
Actually, my butt was not hurting. And now that I heard that my favorite horror manga artist was also collaborating with them on it, Junji Ito.
Was he the guy
My butt exploded and just became something else. It's not a butt anymore.
Is that the one with the holes in the rocks where the people go into it?
That is a Junji Ito classic. Holes. That's right. This hole is mine. It was made for me.
I don't...
Have you seen the end of that comic?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't... Like, that's... I've seen, like, a bunch of his work. And every time I look at them, I'm like, I get them. They're actually kind of clever. And, like, they're not scary. I think they're more stupid. But I just think that they're clever enough.
Junji Ito has a fuck ton.
I read a lot of the more famous ones.
There's a lot of different ones. Like there's like Gyo is the one he did that's like really popular. That's like a big long series about
Yeah, I've never read any of like the series stuff. I've read like short stories.
Okay, yeah. A lot of his short stories are goofy because he's actually really, really fucking funny. One of my favorites is him and it's Junji. It's just an autobiography manga of him and his cats, and it's like he's writing about his life and like how like his cats are weird, and he's like this one cat stares at me and I don't know if it likes me or not. It's really funny.
I just love that at the end of the holes one, it's just like they're all got like the dangly arms like they're
flopping. Yeah.
It's so dumb. Oh, no, that's Amiga Fault, I think.
Yeah,
it's called
the Enigma. It's the Enigma of Arigara Fault.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah, but I saw that and I was like, oh, this game could be good. It would be nice to play a game that I was actually scared playing.
Yeah, because a lot of them are just like cheap jump scares. Yeah. Like, those don't count.
Like Five Nights at Freddy's. It's right. Like cheap.
Being startled is not being afraid.
No.
You're startled and like there's a few people who can like go through things even when they're expecting it and not be startled. But that's not necessarily like anything. It doesn't mean you're more courageous. It just means you aren't startled easily.
Well, I mean, I like
which I guess means in like prehistory you would just be killed because when something jumped at you, you wouldn't immediately try to flee.
Yeah,
and you'd be murdered.
No.
So congratulations, you think you're superior, you're actually inferior.
Well, I was I saw Paranormal. I love the Paranormal Activity movies. I know people think they're shit, but I love
The first one was pretty good.
I like the second one. The third one was terrible. No, I like the third one. The fourth one was the worst overall.
That was the Chosen Ones or whatever?
No, that was the fifth one. That was the Mexican.
Okay, I didn't see that one. The last one I saw had a fan in it. There was a fan gag.
That was the third one.
That was the last one I saw, not good.
That was the one from the... I love that one just because it was 1980s.
The fan gag was good.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no.
But the Chosen Ones, which was all about... which is Mexican paranormal activity. Paranormal. That one was actually pretty good. I love jump scares. I do. But I don't get scared. I just like woo.
Yeah, you get startled. Yeah,
it's fun. And when in Paranormal Activity 2, when they're in like there's a scene where they're just in the kitchen and all of a sudden just all of the cabinets blow open and all
oh yeah, that was awesome. Poof.
I was sitting next to Anthony from Play On. And I jumped like 6 feet off my chair, and he just was laughing at me throughout the entire thing. I'm like, no, I love it. I love being scared.
That was awesome.
It's the best part. The speaking of which, horror games, I actually read through
Silent Hill 2 was pretty fucking creepy when I played it. Like that game definitely like stuck with me a long time. 2 was definitely like there were some moments where you're just like Jesus Christ.
It's
super dated now. Like a lot of people try and like say like oh you should go play it now. It's like
yeah, it's like when you're like man Lara Croft is sexy, then you go back and look at Lara Croft and you're like this is not sexy. Still gonna masturbate, but it's not sexy.
I'm doing it. I'm jacking it to nostalgia. I'm nostalgia jacking it.
Nostalgia-ing it. No, I read through the Fantasy Flight role-playing games, like the End of the World role-playing games.
Oh, the
they
End
did.
Of the World series?
That is a really good series.
There's the Aliens isn't out yet, I believe.
Yeah, I read through the Elder Gods one. I read through, like, the Nature one, where it was, like, tsunamis, or there was a couple different scenarios in the book. It's a fantastic, if you're doing a short little one or two night thing with it, you could have some fun with that. It's definitely not designed around campaign or anything like that.
Yeah, doesn't sound like it.
No, but what it does is it actually has specific scenarios. Like, you have to go find food. Like, this is like, as the DM, this is the stuff that they're going to have to encounter as they're trying to go find food. And things like that. It's a very good system, and it's creepy. Very well packaged. Very tight rules, and it's a fun little refresher. I would imagine if you're like doing a campaign, you want to take a night off and do something different.
I think having those handy is actually one of the best things you can do as a GM as well, because if you have a group of say 4 people and one dude can't make it, there's always the option of like, well, everyone wants to role play because they're coming over to do it. And if one dude cancels last minute, you know, you can either do the, well, we're going to continue, but his character's not there, so I'll just play his character, etc. But or you can be like, we're playing End of the World Zombies. Here are your fucking characters. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. I don't know if I'd like the zombie one as much.
Whatever. That was
just I'm just saying, because it's kind of overplayed at this point. I'd much rather
Everything's overplayed. The Cthulhu isn't overplayed.
True. Well, it's
there were fucking like 10 different Cthulhu games that launched in just 2015.
That's true. But it's not quite the same as a lot of the Cthulhu games that are out there. All of them tried to be like Lovecraft, where it's all like
creeping what I mean.
Horror and everything. And this is more like
This is Endgame. Yeah, like, Cthulhu won.
Cthulhu is already won. You're
trying to survive in the aftermath.
You're like, oh god, it's a Shaggoth! It just kind of goes like, over you.
And so you're basically playing The Mist.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
That movie's fucking great.
That's a great.
I watched that not too long ago.
Did you ever see the black and white version?
Is it just the normal movie but colored black and white?
Yeah. It actually is pretty cool.
I mean, I like black and white films.
It's actually, I think, available on the Blu-ray.
I like black and white films, but why?
It just gives it a different feel, a different atmosphere to it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, speaking of Stephen King, for our anniversary this year, depending on how things go, I might be going on strike. But depending on how things go, we might be staying at the Stanley Overlook Hotel.
You're not going to scab?
No.
Why not? No.
Because I don't want to get my tires slashed.
Nice.
The Stanley.
Note to self, spread rumor, Joe is scab.
We might be staying at the Stanley Overlook, which is where they did The Shining. So I'm kind of, not the Jack Nicholson version, but it's the one that Stephen King actually stayed in when he got inspired for The Shining. So
are you gonna hire a elderly hooker to reenact a scene?
Yes. Was it room 237 or something like that?
I don't know. There's the one where the dude in the dog mask is giving that other dude a BJ.
Yeah.
And he just like looks up and he's like, what the fuck are you looking at? Trying to give this dude a sick beej. Carry on.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
One of the things I've always wanted to see in a, I know like horror movies, like they're trying to be, you know, specific, like they really want to set the tone. And obviously this wouldn't work because Kubrick wouldn't be able to fucking wrap his head around it.
I don't know. He's a weird dude.
Kubrick movies are like, great and shitty always. I've never seen one where I've just been like, that entire film was entertaining. Never happened. But I want to see a movie where like ghosts actually have super straight up different personalities. So like one of the ghosts is like, I don't know, just like hangs out in a room and like fucking like pokes a wall or something. And they'll talk to you because it's just ghosts. And it's like, it's sassy. And then there's some ghosts that are scary and some that are not.
Kind of sound like the Frighteners.
I think the Frighteners is probably the closest to that. Cause there's definitely like the evil spoopy ghosts. And then there's Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. There's Michael J. Fox. And then death comes and death is really terrifying. Cause that was back when Peter Jackson knew how to do fucking movies. God damn it.
What do you mean, dude, knew how to do movies? Peter Jackson still knows how to do movies.
That's
thank
true.
You very much.
The Hobbit is an amazing film.
It's a fucking great trilogy. I can't wait to see the extended edition of Battle 5 Armies. That's coming up soon. I just saw the extended edition of Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
And once again, watching a extended Tolkien film from Peter Jackson, I am always just flabbergasted that they cut shit like that. I'm just like, how did you, like, they cut out an entire character from Desolation of Smaug.
Who'd they cut out?
They cut out Thorin's dad.
He's
not in the fucking movie at all.
They made a miniature for him.
Yeah, he's cut out of the fucking movie entirely. I was like, that's fucking ridiculous, because his scenes are pretty important, and there's a lot of, like, world-building exposition in there. And characters' reasonings and the way they act in a lot of scenes make more sense, because, like, what they did when they edited it, and I'm sure Peter Jackson did it, and I'm not saying it's easy. I probably couldn't fucking do it. But what they would do, and it seems like this happens a lot, is like especially it was super noticeable in Smaug. I've seen the extended edition of The Hobbit so many times. I haven't watched the basic one in so long. I don't know what's actually added other than there's a lot more Goblin King singing, yes. That's A+.
You do love the Goblin King.
Well, I mean, just there should be more singing. Like the Hobbit has a million billion songs in it. So as many songs as possible are good. And that's why I really liked that they did that in the first movie. And there was a lot of songs stuck in there.
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do. I don't know why that came to my head, but that's always like,
it's a bunch of men singing together in a room. So you think of the stone
cutters? It sounds like kind of like a Hobbit song.
But what he did is they kept the characters' actions, but not their motivations in the scene. So there's a part where, Alfred, who is talking to the master of Lake Town, and there's a bunch of exposition. They're talking to each other, like, you know, Bo Bard does this, and it's like, oh, well, we should do this, and like, oh, that makes sense, blah blah blah, and then like, we're gonna go look for Bard, etc. And then Bard sneaks the dwarves into the town, and there's like a chase scene where like the guards like they think they see him, and the guards are trying to chase after the dwarves, and the people of Lake Town like hide the dwarves. And Bard, you know, like smooth talks his way to get the guards to go away. And like the guards ask someone, like, oh, did you see anyone? And they're like, nope. And they put something covering one of the dwarves. And then the dwarves and Bard go to his house. Whereas in the regular cut, they go boat. And then they're immediately at his house. And they're like, they're talking like they just like escaped something. And you're like, what? Why? That's weird. So,
I mean, you had to cut that movie. Those were long ass movies.
Right. Yes. Yeah. There needs to be cut somewhere. But I always think it's, you know, why don't you cut some of this instead?
Yeah, I understand. You know,
I mean, I guess those long panoramic shots are expensive. So even though it's just kind of a minute of the camera like swirling in the back, like you gotta leave that in because it looks real cool.
Over the summer we saw the Chicago Symphony Orchestra do the music to Return of the King while watching the movie, and it was so. That scene, what it just reminded me of it, where they're doing where they light the beacon, and then all, like, you're going over the mountains.
The beacons are lit!
And you get, like,
Gondor calls for aid!
The music's swelling, and, like, you know, the lights are going up, you know, like, all around, and, you know, and all of a sudden you just, like, Aragorn busts in, and he's like, the beacons of Minas Tirith are lit! And then it's, like, and then when Denethor turns and he's, like, not Denethor, Theoden. He turns and goes, and Rohan will answer. Yeah. And it's like, bah, 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 bah. And everyone goes nuts. It's like, this is the dumbest, simultaneously the dumbest and greatest moment ever.
Dude, it's the best thing ever. There's nothing dumb about that scene. How dare you? How fucking dare you? You are a monster. You started your life a monster. You continue to be a monster, and you'll die a monster.
It's so Peter Jackson, though, because he comes in there.
No one was running in there with a chainsaw.
No.
Cutting up zombies.
But it's Peter Jackson. In the way that it's filmed.
Have you ever seen Meet the Feebles?
Yes, I've seen Meet the Feebles. Of course I've seen Meet the Feebles.
Like, fuck if I know. A lot of people don't even know what the fuck Meet the Feebles is.
That's a cat fucking a walrus or a walrus fucking a cat. I can't remember. It's been a while. But it's that great scene because what it is they're in the Mead Hall in Edoras, and the you see the door and the camera is going closer to the, it's zooming in on the door as Aragorn is coming in. So Aragorn is going towards the camera as the camera's going towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Very Peter Jackson. And the music stops. It's silent after that. And then it's like, you know, he turns it like, and Gondor will answer. Yeah. And then the music starts up again.
It's a fantastically directed scene.
It is. I mean, but it's so Peter Jackson.
That doesn't mean it's bad.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's very, very Peter Jackson.
Right, good.
In watching, like, certain directors, like, have those.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. Did you listen to the Hellboy podcast we did?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, we talk quite a bit about Guillermo del Toro and, like, his style. Like, it's so, like, there's, even in, like, the worst parts of the movie, you could see where, like, he's shining through just a little bit. Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro has a very heartwarming accent.
He does.
He seems like he'd be a really good friend.
It's like he'd just be like, come, Steve, cuddle amongst my bosom.
Hey, come on. You want a sandwich? I have sandwiches. Let's watch a movie.
I have head cheese.
Come on, everyone. Let's watch a movie. Yay.
He gets like liverwurst. He's like a liverwurst sandwich. I can't do Guillermo del Toro.
I can't either because his accent's hard to do.
Yeah, it's very hard to do. But yeah, that scene. And there's also the other one with where, of course, Eowyn takes off the helmet and like, I am no dude. And she stabs him.
I am no bro.
Yeah, I'm no bro. And she stabs an Asgore and everyone's like, going nuts. It's great. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, super good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to see what the extended edition adds to Battle of Five Armies. I'm hoping it adds more Beorn, because in the second movie, the extended edition had a fuck ton more Beorn.
Yeah.
And that was the jam.
Roar, I'm a bear.
Not just a bear, he's a super bear.
Is it? I can't remember. I always saw Battle Five Armies once in the theater, but don't the Eagles like airdrop him in? If I'm not mistaken,
I believe that happens. I also only saw it once in theater.
I hope that's true in my head, because in my head, I just have this thing of the Eagles flying in and then Bjorn jumping off and turning into a bear midair and like attacking the goblins.
I think that's what happened. I'll let you know.
If it didn't, I'd be really pissed.
I'll let you know if they airdrop him in. I think they do.
Yeah, because that was pretty amazing, in my head at least.
Yeah. I still stand my complaint about the Hobbit movies and the Lord of the Rings films is the same, has not changed. It is the simple fact that none of the monsters or creatures, fantastic or otherwise, talk. That's my only complaint.
The spiders talked when he had the ring on.
You know what? I really like good call, and I really enjoyed that. I like that they fit it in. Because everything talked. The wargs talked. The eagles talked. The spiders talked. Everything fucking talks. If it's a magical creature, it talks. you know, if it's like a giant magic horse, would definitely talk. So I don't know if Shadowfax talked, but I imagine Shadowfax is just a he's just a super horse. He's not actually a supernatural creature, so he's not a warg.
He's not supernatural. He's just a super horse.
He's a super horse. He's not at that tier. He's like a 5 out of 10.
Well, I mean, he's just like a when you're buying him in the stable, they're like, ho ho ho. This is a 5 gold piece horse. This ain't a 1 gold piece horse. This is a 5 gold piece horse.
Now that I'm thinking about it, my knowledge of Shadowfax is extremely small.
This is, what is it, a Metaris? I don't remember. I don't know. They should make the Silmarillion into a fucking TV show, is what they should do.
The Silmarillion would be fucking hype.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about it while I was watching Desolation of Smaug, and I was reflecting. I was like, you know what they should have actually done? Is they should have made The Hobbit 1 movie and edited it. You know, cut out stuff, made it really like it would be really long, like a 3.5 hour, and cut out all of the cut it in the same style as Lord of the Rings and not include any of the stuff from the Silmarillion, because like Gandalf going to Dol Guldur and stuff, and stuff's from the Silmarillion. So what they do is you make The Hobbit into one longer film, complete the whole thing from start to finish. You know, The Hobbit start, you know, doorstep to doorstep. And then instead of 2 more Hobbit movies, you have films 2 and 3 be the Silmarillion part 1 and part 2.
Well, the Silmarillion, though, all the cool stuff happened thousands and thousands of years before anything there.
Which is why you could, because the Silmarillion is just a collection of tales. Yeah. It doesn't have a cohesive, like, start to finish.
Yeah.
So the first thing you can do in the Silmarillion, Silmarillion part 1, you start the scene where Gandalf, like, leaves the party, because that happens in The Hobbit. He just, like, rolls. He's like, see ya.
He's like, deuces.
Yeah, like, Gandalf, where you going? He's like, later, homies, I gotta take this horse. And he rides off. So
run, Shadowfax.
So you start that. That's where you start the Silmarillion, and then you follow Gandalf going into Dol Guldur, and like you cover all that shit in that movie, and people will be like, oh, because then that gives people like oh, that's what he was doing. That's badass, you know, etc.
He's gonna go fight a necromancer.
He's gonna go fight the necromancer. There's goblins and orcs over there as well.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch. Benedict Brock Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbund. Broccoli Dick Cumberbund.
Broccoli Dick.
You forgot the Cumberbund.
I always call him Cumbersnatch. Yeah,
well,
so.
No, mine's better. Broccoli Dick Cumberbund is way better.
By the way, we actually do have some Games Workshop news to talk about.
Oh, what's that? They lowered prices?
The new Tau suit.
I don't know why it has no arms.
It is because it has missile pods.
It's actually not that bad.
But it has the same tiny head that you absolutely hate.
Does it?
Yes.
I can't see it. Oh, it's a little red thing.
Yeah.
I would just take that off. See, I thought, so on the front, where the like that gray stripe on its chest?
Yeah.
I thought that was the visor where the pilot would see.
No. It's got that little red, okay.
Head. You take that little red head and you throw it away. You throw it in the fucking trash. And because it looks like a battle mech.
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking like FASA battle mech.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because if you imagine where that visor is the screen, it looks like a battle mech.
Yeah.
So it's not that horrible. It's big.
It's big.
I don't know why it has no arms.
You'll need 3 of them to play.
Probably.
Was it you who's telling me that Adepticon's not doing the fantasy tournament this year is going to use the Kings of War rules?
I don't know about Adepticon.
Okay.
Adepticon, as far as I know, Adepticon events haven't been scheduled for this yet. There's not finalized because pre-registration's not even open yet.
No.
There's an independent grand tournament series for fantasy in the States.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called, but it's like the biggest one. And they took a vote on what system they were going to use for their tournament series, and they all decided to do Kings of War.
Interesting.
But in the UK, they did the Ninth Age.
Oh my God. Did you look at those rules?
Admittedly, I did not, because I don't give a fuck.
Holy shit. Okay, so to the listeners who haven't heard this before, there's a whole independent group that...
So let me just preface you here, because you know the thing. This is the official tournament system for the Grand Prix scene or Grand Tournament scene in the UK.
Holy fuck.
And
Europe. This is the exact reason why you don't let British people write rule sets. It's the most convoluted, like... It's essentially the 8th edition rulebook, but with so much more rules in it.
So they added more rather than taking
more. Oh my God. And the rules are so like British. It's like Just like, I can't even, I wish I could think of some of the terms that they use.
At turn three, you have to pause play and have a cuppa.
Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, why did they do this? They should have slimmed down the rules and made them easier to follow, at least. The thing's a nightmare. It's just like a nonsense book.
All right.
Because someone posted, I think you posted it, or someone posted it on the Facebook page. And I was looking at it, and I was like, okay, well...
I saw the people talking about they were using it for that tournament system, so I'm like, whatever, I'll just post this on Classy and I'll let them be the judge.
Well, I mean...
And it seems like Classyland hates it.
Well, it's bad. It's... Okay, so I'll knock Kings of War for being very, very simplistic.
It's
but
true.
There's a nice balance between simplistic of Kings of War and that piece of shit that they put out there.
Kings of War was also designed to be a tournament system.
Yeah.
For a that can run in like a reasonable amount of time, because I think an hour and a half rounds is like that in Kings of War. Super fast.
No, I get that. And like, I think 6th edition, which I always say is the best edition, kind of nicely balances out between these two. Yeah, 6th edition has its flaws as well, but you could have just fixed those.
Yeah, if they would actually have just focused on making 6th edition a better game.
Yeah.
Instead of doing... I know we've harped on this plenty of times, but if they had just focused on making 6th a better game instead of producing 7th, which was just... My biggest thing, I think the
variable charge range?
I think actually, that's not it. My biggest thing that I thought was the beginning of the end and the first... awful rule that actually ruined Warhammer, began the avalanche of bullshit that was 7th and 8th edition, was minimum 5-man frontage.
Yeah.
Minimum 5-man frontage. Because the 4-man front was so much better, because it just worked better. Because it gave you... There was actually... Because some people still used 5-man frontage, because...
You didn't get the extra guy.
The extra chops. Yeah. So you go, oh, these troops are a little bit better. Like your Swordmasters of Hoeth, like... Yeah, in 5-man frontage, that seems fine. Like, I want more fucking sweet attacks.
Yeah.
But for, like, skeletons or the cheaper troops, putting them in 4-man frontage, like, was much better because their attacks were worthless.
You could also do cavalry in 4-man frontage, and you could run a bigger unit of 12 as opposed to having to have 15.
Exactly.
To get the rank bonus.
Right. So... Because
see, guys, we actually play these games. We kind of know, like, we don't normally talk about the rules and get, like, grimy into it, but we do know what we're talking about most of the time.
It made it worse because... Essentially, on the troops that were, like, skeletons are a good example. Skeletons were pointed to be that way. Having an entire strip of useless models that you just... It was just an extra points buffer. So that means all of your skeleton units got attacks of one skeleton per rank you wanted that made them that much worse. Because giving, like... And you get hit by more attacks the bigger your frontage is. So if you have a 5-man skeleton frontage, that means you're earning yourself a useless skeleton attack, and you're getting hit by bigger frontages of the enemy units. 4 was also a lot more manageable for doing lap round and changing frontage and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
because you know you moved two.
No, you're right.
So that was I thought that was the first thing, and all the changes.
Getting rid of lap round was dumb.
And that change was. Well, I thought getting lap round was stupid because lap round was a really cool rule that Sneaky Kits had.
Yeah.
Like, it was a great special rule they had. I thought that the actual, like, pushing models around for lap round was definitely led to some scenarios.
The less you have to handle the models, technically, the better the game is. But I still like being fiddly.
I think lap round, you could fix lap round by simply going, if the unit is engaged with any, like, if the combat involves any more than one unit, you cannot lap round.
Yeah.
So lap round is 1v1 unit, the winner can lap round. And then as soon as anything else gets involved, like if the unit lapping round got charged, like you did have to take them back. But if you charged with two units in like a big giant mass combat and you started lapping round, there was nothing that stopped two units from lapping one unit round.
Yeah. You're right.
And it's just a play to sell more models, because now suddenly your 20-man unit of skeletons is no longer the most effective, because 20-man 4-man front gave you the max ranks for the minimum investment. Now if you want the same, you need to do 25.
Yeah. So I mean, speaking of the death of fantasy, last time I...
Oh, and it's dead, baby.
It's dead.
It's fucking dead. All those people telling you that Age of Sigmar is huge, I did some more investigation into the...
it doesn't exist.
Into the, like, people claiming it's good. Here's the deal. Every single... Like, obviously, it's anecdotal, because it's just my personal thing, what I've seen, what I've talked to. But every game store owner I've talked to, every person I've seen, people who bought into the game to try it, they hate it. They think it's shit. But everyone compliments the models.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys that are buying the models and using them for other things. And there's one dude who played 40K. He bought a bunch of the Sigmarines, and he's like, "Yeah, Sigmar's stupid, but I got a Space Marine army out of it."
Yeah.
So
that's... I just bought a bunch of bits offline from a guy who's not supposed to be selling bits, but selling bits regardless.
Yeah. But that's my stance is the same. You know, fucking you. If you like the models, you should get it. Try the game. If you hate it, don't play it. But there's so many things you can use the good models for.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's essentially what's going on with fantasy right now. I said on the last one that metal is going for, like, all of everything in fantasy is going for bargain basement prices. Yeah. I did want to put a caveat on that. Stuff that was always expensive still is expensive.
Right.
I'm doing Bretonians for Kings of War, and I wanted to get some Grail Pilgrims. And I was like, you know what? I'm sure these aren't that expensive. Yeah, they're still pretty expensive to buy. They were always expensive, but on top of it, so. Stuff that was always hard to get, still hard to get.
Right.
Yeah. But aside from that, you can get most stuff pretty fucking cheap right now. Yeah.
Also does not apply to the Lord of the Rings models. Lord of the Rings metal models are fucking insanely expensive.
That's your own damn fault. You're playing a game that less people play than fantasy.
So good. Actually, I think that was only in the States. It seems like Lord of the Rings was really fucking popular everywhere except for the States.
Not playing-wise. It only was very popular because it was highly collectible.
Well, there was the quarterly magazine that everywhere except for the States got.
That was monthly. That was a monthly mag.
That magazine is fucking insane. It ran for a really long time.
It came with figures.
Yeah, it came with a figure, and it came with a hobby guide on how to do that figure.
Yeah,
and a bunch of other shit. I was like, this is the fucking coolest thing ever. Oh, it wasn't available in the States. Great.
I don't know. Some of the Lord of the Rings models always irked me.
Some of the all models.
Yeah,
there are some ranges. Yeah, like the original orcs, they're bad.
Yeah,
like they have like the dude who's like bow quivers running into the back of his head.
Oh my god!
But they redid those models.
Some of those original models, like the ones that came in the
when they had the not so good plastic. They did not have the computerized plastic shit, and they were making one or two piece plastic models. So they were much better than anything Workshop had offered previously, like the single pose chaos dwarf with axe.
Who has his fist
on his hip and his elbow at his side with his axe pointing to the side.
That was not an axe, it was forward. A halberd.
Oh, so sorry. I couldn't tell because it looked like a turd.
And it didn't really matter because they had the most magnificent beard known to gaming kind.
I disagree. The penis hat guys had the best beards.
Well, they all had the same beard. It was all the ziggurati beards.
Well, no, they were a little more like cylindrical.
I'm not taking my phone.
Okay.
I love you. the chaos dwarf. Speaking of weird Assyrian things, so for Halloween this year, we're going to a party at the Oriental Institute, which is, I think, did I tell you about this before?
I don't think so.
The Oriental Institute is like an old school kind of like Indiana Jones style museum in Chicago.
Okay.
So you go there and it's all like weird shelves and like display cases.
Do you get to meet renegade archaeologists?
Kind of.
Fucking
and
sweet.
But they're doing
like, the museum.
It's they're doing like a haunted tour of the museum, so they're showing you the mummies and everything like that. It's all Egyptian, Assyrian, and like all Middle East stuff. That's where I found the statue of Pazuzu that they had there, like in a small
Pazuzu. And that is how your father won his freedom.
Futurama references. So do we have anything else that like gaming wise to talk about, or
not really?
Should we just talk about Cards Against Humanity and how it's the greatest game known to mankind?
I'm selling that on eBay.
So is everyone else.
Nah, it's still worth bank, bro.
How is it worth bank? How is anyone paying anything for Cards Against Humanity?
I don't fucking know. You know why? Because Cards Against Humanity is a simpler and less gamey Settlers of Catan. So all the people who wanted to play Settlers of Catan can now just play Cards Against Humanity because it requires no skill.
You just love making those analogies, don't you?
I fucking hate Catan.
I know you hate Catan.
You'll generally find, if anyone pays attention to my habits of making analogies, I'm generally just trying to do it to shit on something.
Yes. Steve?
That's usually the only reason I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll also just tell you directly, it's fucking garbage.
You know what else is pretty garbage about, like, the fact that we're recording? So we're recording on a Thursday night as opposed to, like, Sunday morning at, like, butt crack a.m.
I'm glad I'm not half asleep.
Yeah. But the other thing is that we're missing Arena. So the guys who Arena Rex, they had a free shipping sale going on. Can't do that one because it ends tomorrow. So it'll be after the podcast ends.
Right. You should buy Arena Rex.
Yes.
Do it. They're not paying us.
I've been having a lot of fun painting the models. And the Others board game, the one that Cool Mini did for Kickstarter, that's over with like today, one. I think.
Yeah.
It's like spooky.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a Sons of Ragnarok box set, Steve, and it has guys that look like motorcycle gangs from a certain AMC TV show.
American Horror Story?
Yes.
All right, I knew it.
Lady Gaga.
I did it.
We did it, guys.
Back to Cards Against Humanity. This is the non-gamer game. So this is the game where, like, people who don't play games, they buy it. Because that's the... This is how the buzz works, because Settlers was... Settlers, the first thing I thought of is the same reason. Settlers is a game you can find in houses that are not gamer houses, and, like, they don't play games. Like, their board games, they'll be, like, Monopoly and, like, Settlers.
If I ever came to someone's house and I saw Monopoly out in a place where we could see it, I would go and I would just burn it.
Why? You gotta play Monopoly, dog. Competitive 1v1.
Competitive 1v1 Monopoly.
Let's go.
All right. That would be the worst game known to mankind.
Dude, there's tournaments. If you win, you get whatever the it's like 200 some thousand.
Yeah, you get whatever the bank is.
Yeah, you get the bank.
Yeah,
yeah. It's competitive 1v1 Monopoly.
Do you remember back in the day?
High stakes, baby.
It's high stakes.
You should watch the guys play. It's fucking hilarious. There's like Monopoly is so much about the fucking dice.
It is. The remember back in the day when like the Franklin Mint would have like the super expensive Monopoly
set? Yes, it'd be like gold and shit.
And you'd have like the little drawer that would pull out.
Oh, I remember. Oh, Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm. That was, I remember seeing that and being like, oh man, that'd be great to have. And now if I had it, I'd be like, no, and just knock it off the table. Like, where's my 3D Spock chess set? That's what I want.
Monopoly's not a great game, but Monopoly's also really old. And Monopoly, I believe, exists in the same reason that for the same reasons chess exists.
Just because?
No, it's because it's old. It's grandfathered into the psyche. Like, do you know how many people know what chess is? Almost everyone knows what chess is.
Yeah.
How many people know how to play chess? Way less than everyone.
Yeah, but the difference is that chess, most games of chess, like fast play chess, you could get done in 15, 20 minutes tops.
Right, but the game is bad. Like, by modern game design, chess is a bad game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say chess is a bad game.
It is, by strict adherence to modern game design, chess is a bad game.
Is it because it's a non-collectible?
Actually, one of the reasons chess is a bad game is because it's zero variance.
Well, yes.
Well, I mean, quasi-zero variance. There's every game that interacts with people has variance because there's always the human variance because there's the chance that you and I are playing, we're at the same skill level, but you make a mistake. That is a type of variance. There's the human error portion.
But the thing with chess is that over the years, it's developed that everyone makes the same fucking opening moves. There's
almost every professional chess game ends in a draw. Yeah. So
if you're playing against computers, they'll kick your ass.
If you look at chess player records, like their records are like one win, one loss, eight draws. And like that's a very impressive chess record. They're just draws fucking left and right. And to give you how much people give a fuck about chess, there was something that recently happened. A no-name chess player beat three grandmasters.
I saw something about that,
in a tournament. Like fucking three grandmasters.
We should just talk all about chess this podcast.
Because you know what? I am now done with my chess repertoire. I've got nothing else.
Got nothing else. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but that's what I understand chess because it's ancient, it's fucking, yeah. it's a basic,
I mean,
how to learn.
It's not the exact same thing, obviously. Monopoly is kind of a little bit newer than
Monopoly
chess.
Monopoly is garbage in comparison.
Monopoly is a good training tool to teach children how to accept what's going to happen in their lives.
Go to jail. No, I like, out of all of those old games, like those old Parker Brothers.
I like Battleship.
I like Battleship.
Battleship's
okay.
My old game.
Mine is Clue. I love fucking Clue.
Clue. Clue's okay. You know what's weird? In non-America, it's called Cluedo.
Or I thought it was Cluedo.
I mean, it's one word.
Yeah, is it Cluedo?
I don't know. Maybe it's Cluedo. Fuck if I know. It's not a word either way.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing. I mean,
it's so weird.
Calling it Clue makes sense because you're looking for clues.
Well, I want to know why. If you're foreign and you played Cluedo or Cluedo, why? Not why did you play it? Why is it called that? Please let us know.
I also, Mr. Green is like a priest in the British version. I think he's like Parson Green or like Vicar Green or something like that. I don't remember what he's called.
Viscount.
Viscount Green.
Viscount is my favorite title. Just because it's like, yes, I'm a Viscount. It's like, ooh, what does that mean? I don't know.
Was something else came up with? Oh, I think it had something to do with Rob Hawkins' blog. So he was talking about a Viscount. On the, one of his characters is a Viscount. Rob Hawkins, quit trying to make 8th edition Skaven happen.
it's fetch.
Yeah. I mean, they're very beautiful models, and you've done a great job with it. Just
Rob hates King's Award.
just give up that dream, man. Just give up that dream.
I'd just go back. I would just go back. If I was dead set and still playing Warhammer,
I'd go back to 6.
I'd just go back to 6.
That's what yeah.
Like, at this point, just be like, fuck it, just go back to 6. That was the one thing I thought was kind of weird. That just kind of surprised me, because like if you were playing War, like, and no one suggested going to an older edition of Fantasy, which I thought was kind of strange, because if you're committed to playing a dead game, because Warhammer's a dead game, you can pick and choose, like, you don't have to keep playing 8th.
Well, you got to kind of remember that 6th edition was like a. The 6th edition went out when in 2005, 2006.
But even then, no one suggested 7th either.
Yeah, well, you know, it's,
and 7th, for all intents and purposes, 7th was much better than 8th.
I don't. Oh yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say 7th was much better than 6th. I was going to throw something at you.
No, we were just jacking that, each other off about how much we liked 6th edition.
It's not a really good thing that you have two razor blades in the table right in the center.
Well, there's one for me and one for you.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not a good.
Hey there, little mama. Take it easy. Want to know how I got these scars? No. So we were just jacking each other off about how much we like 6th edition.
But yeah, no one went back to 7th, but I think it's just because the majority of people who are still playing, all of their armies are designed around 8th. So
right, that makes sense.
That's the reason.
Well, I mean, there's a couple guys on who are like legacy players who've been playing for like 25 years.
Yeah, but those are the people who don't even like play anymore. It's like they're like the Grail Knight from the end of Temple of Last Crusade. They're like,
they just guard the Grail.
Yeah, it's like you go into the room and they got all their Warhammer models up there.
He chose poorly.
Yeah, and they turn around and they're all like dusty and old, like. You must choose which army you're going to take, and they like go for the.
I'll pick the Tomb Kings.
You have chosen poorly. And the guy's like, turns into Christopher Lloyd from like Back to the Future. He's like, That's why I always think of like when
a couple things.
Oh wait, hold on. When Donovan dies at the end of Last Crusade, watches his face decomposes. He turns into Christopher Lloyd.
All right. I'll freeze frame that. Speaking of Back to the Future and Christopher Lloyd, a couple things. One, the Back to the Future 30th anniversary Blu-ray collection is coming out soon, I think.
I have the Blu-ray set that they put out recently.
Then there's also the Telltale video game that's coming out as well.
Doc.
Yeah, it's really funny. They have the dude who's like a Marty McFly sound alike, and then a picture was just brought up of the dude decomposing and. Yeah, he definitely looked like Christopher Lloyd. It's kind of creepy. But also, so I know we shit on sports ball, and I will not stop that shitting on. However, do you know what year it is? And do you know that the Cubs have a possible shot at getting to the World Series?
Well, I yes.
So if they win the World Series, does that mean I'm now okay to dress like Biff does in that movie? I want that metal hat.
That's not Biff. That's his grandson.
Well, it's young Biff.
It's not Biff.
He's also Biff.
I don't think his name is Biff.
I thought they were both named Biff.
Well, I know
they were all named Biff. Like, my name's Biff. My dad's name was Biff. His dad's name
is
Biff.
I think it's Griff.
My son's name will be Biff. Oh, maybe it's Griff.
I think it's Griff Tannen.
That's awesome.
And because in 3 it's Buford Mad Dog Tannen.
Sure.
Nobody calls me Mad Dog.
Then in that case, can I dress like Griff?
Yeah.
Because I want that.
Can I be
it is Griff.
Yeah. Can I go as the guy with the chicken jacket? Can you go, what's the matter, McFly? Chicken? And then he goes, bark, bark,
bark, bark. Yes.
He like pulls a string and it makes a chicken sound.
Yes. You should do that.
Yeah. What's the matter, McFly?
And we can buy Pepsi next.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Pepsi Perfect.
They're actually selling it now.
I saw it. It's $20 a bottle.
Well, that's what they probably thought because of 1980s Reaganomic inflation, how much Pepsi would cost.
That's reasonable.
Yes.
It's got future prices, too.
McFly!
They thought of everything.
You bojo! Hoverboards don't work on water. You need power!
That movie's great. That's my favorite one. I love it. Back to the Future Part 2 is the best. I remember when we're going, we don't need wheels.
Roads.
Little me, whatever. little me shit my pants. That's the less important part. The more important part is when the fucking tires go down.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Got a hoverboard conversion.
Man, I had a micro machine.
Hover car conversion.
I had that micro machine. Oh, man. I went on a lot of adventures with the DeLorean.
However, as much as I'd like to say that the Cubs having a chance of winning the World Series is possible, it won't happen by the time that the date, because I think it's October 23rd.
The fuck if I know.
Which is coming up. It might. Who knows? And they would have to beat the Florida Gators or the Miami Gators. I think it's the Miami Gators.
I don't even know what that means.
That's the team that the Cubbies beat in the Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I've been following this because I'm like...
Well, even then, I hope they don't win because I cannot stand... I already can't stand the insufferable amount of people talking about the fucking Cubbies. And it's just like, oh yeah, I hear you talk about sports a lot. Nope, actually don't. This is the first time I've ever seen you post anything sports related. Congratulations that your favorite team is in the big game. Fuck.
Did your team score the appropriate unit points allowed? Dude,
sports, oh man. Sports brings out, like, and games too sometimes, but sports brings out the absolute fucking, A, brings out the absolute worst in people, and B, it brings out the absolute worst people.
Well, I mean, what was it? I was talking with someone, and they were like, did you watch the football game? I was like, no, I made 7 pounds of sausage during the entire time that it took you to watch that football game. What did you do during that time? Oh, yeah, that's right. You sat there and watched a football game.
Football?
Football.
You just looked at him and been like, football?
I love football.
Love football. You have to just say foot.
I'm just thinking of the Teen Titans Go where they like, soccer. That's the game where they run around and then fall down and pretend to be hurt.
That's right. It is that game.
Baseball must be infuriating to any of our foreign listeners because they're just like, this game makes absolutely no sense.
Not if we have a Japanese fan. Japan loves baseball, baby.
It's true. I learned that from Mr. Baseball, the great Tom Selleck vehicle of the 1980s.
All right. Fair enough.
He plays for the Tokyo Dragons, I think it is. I don't remember what the team was.
Japan's totally weird, man. They're really into sports, sort of. It's strange.
Yeah. I'd be really into sumo if I was in Japan.
Oh, there's a lot of people who are into sumo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like the stadiums they have, I've never been, but it seems like a lot of the stadiums they have are pretty much just straight up baseball, but they have, like, their athletic clubs. And that's the other thing, too, is there's no, like, they're not teams, the way their high schools are set up, they're clubs.
Yeah.
But they have, like, an everything club. So, like, there are teams that have an American football club, which are, they're just students who get like American style football gear and play football. It's very fucking strange.
The Japanese are just a strange, incomprehensible people.
It's the future, baby. That's where you're going to find the metal hats.
I just wish the future was more like Blade Runner.
You know what? Every time I see a billboard, every time I see one of those digital billboards,
you're just like, oh, it's close.
It's getting close. It's getting close, baby.
It's in the eyes.
That's right.
Always in the eyes.
I actually didn't really like that movie.
You didn't like Blade Runner?
Yeah, well, I think I was spoiled by the time I saw it. I'd seen so many other great sci-fi movies and like a lot of action ones. By the time I saw the movie, I was like, this movie's slow. How come Han Solo isn't shooting anyone?
Very true. I really got into it much later in life, so I think I appreciate it a little bit more. And I like all the versions of it. I think even the voiceover version, which everyone hates, I kind of like. So
I don't even know what that means.
There's like three different versions of Blade Runner. There's like a studio cut.
What's the director's cut? Is the voiceover director's cut?
No. The voiceover is the studio cut, I think.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter to me. I like all of the cuts, so they're all fine to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Except for the
I mean, it's definitely not Ridley Scott. I've liked every other Ridley Scott movie I've seen.
I think it's the studio cut ends with a scene that's like you see like an over, like it's like almost like a flying shot going over a mountain, a road that's going through mountains, but it's the exact same shot from The Shining. They actually just reused that awesome shot.
I think one of the reasons that's such a cult hit though is too, is because that maybe I'm mistaken, but
Tangerine Dream soundtrack.
Well, obviously, but I think it was one of the first sci-fi movies that got people really doing the like the fan theories about it. It's just like, I think Decker's a replicant.
Yeah.
Like, no, he can't be a replicant because of these reasons. It's like, oh, that's what you saw? Well, I saw these reasons that show me that he is a replicant. And like, you know, it got people, they got invested into the...
Yeah, there's a mythology behind it.
So
but it's also good because you didn't have, that question didn't have to be answered in order for it to be a good movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I think leaving it open was part of it being good. It's like the end of Inception.
I think I should watch it again.
I
think I should watch it again. I'd like to see the director's cut. That would be the one I'd like to see. Yeah. I always prefer the director's cuts, period, just because that's what the director wanted you to see.
I like the sexy unrated cuts.
I mean, that's usually the director's cut as well, because if they put boobies and dongers into their movie, they wanted you to see those boobies and dongers.
I want the boobies and dongers on the same person.
Oh, you know, I watched the RoboCop remake not too long.
Bum, 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 bum,
boobies and dongers on the same person is fine.
We talked about that.
Did we?
Yeah.
I said it was all right?
Nah. You said it was all right. I was like, meh.
I mean, it definitely wasn't fucking RoboCop, but it was good. On its own merits, it was a fine movie.
Yeah.
So you said boobs and dicks on the same person. Do you want shitting dick nipples?
No.
That's a huge callback.
Yes, that is. But shitting dick nipples is...
That's like old school classy.
That's shitting dick nipples. Oh, my stars.
Guns with lasers and tanks.
Oh, my stars. We got only two episodes to episode 100. Oh, I gotta really sit down and like...
What are we going
to
do?
I don't know.
Whatever we're going to do, it's going to be real disappointing.
Yeah, it is. We should get the ass crack guy on.
Good luck.
I think we should just get Pat B on and just interview him.
Interview him as... Oh, you know, let's do that. Let's actually just straight up interview him about something. I'm going to be like, Pat, I'm going to interview about this. I'm going to give him something to research, and we'll just do a dry, like, NPR style, like... So, Pat, what did you think about the Tomb King's Army book?
Well, no, it'd be more like... It'd be like, with us today on the podcast Game Classy is AFL-CIO member Pat Beal. Pat, is there a labor crisis in America?
Well, it depends on what you mean by labor crisis.
What do you think? This is obviously the fault of Obama and his administration's inability to do anything.
Oh, bummer.
Where's the birth certificate?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, since we have no, like, oh, yeah, shit, we're already at an hour. But since we had no gaming stuff, I was like, yeah, do you want to talk about the turmoil that's going on in the GOP right now because they can't elect a fucking Speaker of the House?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah? Yeah, guess what? Our economy's going to tank, people. It's going to tank.
That dude's name is Boner.
His name is Boner. It's Boehner. But
fucking Boner, dude. You look at that name, it's fucking Boner. I don't care how he wants people to say it. Because his name is fucking Boner.
Stabone.
Speaker of the House. Speaker of my dick.
Damone! All right. Do we have any other gaming stuff that we need to talk about?
I think maybe.
People are going to be so disappointed. Like, they were like, this is why we need good balance of pop culture and gaming. We can't just blow our load on one episode, and then, like, our next episode, we're just kind of like, meh.
We talked about some games. We talked about 6th edition.
We talked about, like, games that have been around for 10 years.
Yeah, we talked about how you know what we did? We just did an old man episode.
We did do an old man
episode. We talked about nothing but old games being better than new ones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, better kids these days playing their garbage age of shit mars.
Well, I'll be able to, like, give my annual State of the Gaming address on the next one, so, or biannual State of the Gaming address.
Oh, your auction?
Yeah, my auction prowess. Well, but just depending upon what I've seen on there. There was a lot of Borg cubes for sale. I don't know what that means.
The Borg. I heard they got nerfed, so people are playing that game again.
Oh, are they?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Are the models any better?
The Borg cube looks really cool.
Yeah. I wonder. I don't know. I think that that game has oversaturated the market right now. Not Star Trek, but the Star Wars one.
X-Wing's still. All of the other games they made using that engine, the D&D one, the Star Trek one, and there's another one,
Wings of War.
Wings of War is the original.
Yeah,
X-Wing took the engine and made people want to play it because nobody gave a fuck when it was a World War One flight sim game. but still,
Snoopy flying his sop with Hamill.
The amount that X-Wing crushes those other two games by is unreal.
I was at the Kane County Flea Market with my friend Chris, who's like...
Did you find a copy of Star Wars on VHS?
No, but he's like a huge Star Wars... Like, he's one of those guys that, like, if it doesn't matter, like, it could be like a Star Wars tampon, he will fucking buy it because it's Star Wars.
I'm very sorry.
But his whole thing is Boba Fett. He loves Boba Fett. It's got to be Boba Fett.
Well, of course. Boba Fett does so many cool things in those movies.
He built his own costume. He's a member of the 501st and all that stuff. But we were walking around, and we saw there was a table. I think it was the Gaming Goat had a table there with a bunch of games, and they had Imperial Assault there. And he was like, I was like, oh, Chris, this is the Star Wars Imperial Assault game I was telling you about. And he was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, is all these figures in there? I'm like, yeah. And we're talking about blah blah blah. And all of a sudden, he sees the Boba Fett pack, and he's like, oh, is that a Boba Fett figure? I'm like, yeah, it's an expansion pack. He goes, I will be buying this. It goes up and is like, You don't even...
Did he just buy the expansion pack?
It's not even painted. It's
Wait, just, did he just buy the expansion
just
pack?
Just bought the expansion pack because it was Boba Fett.
That's fucking hilarious.
I was just like, I had my finger up. I was like, That finger slowly comes down. Well, there
you
go.
You remember that rant I went on about how much stupid Star Wars shit is out there? That guy is why.
Yeah.
Because people are just like, oh, it's a Star Wars, I'm going to buy it.
I mean, it's kind of fun going out.
Boopy boop.
Bleep bloop. She died of a broken heart.
Bloop bleep bloop. Fuck, man. I hate those movies so hard. It's getting worse. Like, as more people are getting excited about new Star Wars, I'm hating the prequels more.
Yeah.
It's like the prequels are getting worse somehow.
It's all right. You occasionally meet like a 14-year-old who's like, I really like the prequels. Well, of course you do. They were like three. You were three when they came out.
Yeah. You like shitting in your
you
pants.
You like shitting in your pants, too. You were like, Mommy, I made a poopy. Can I watch Star Wars?
I don't think a three-year-old sounds like a dude from Jersey.
Oh, my daughter kind of does. So anyway.
Your daughter sounds like a dude from Jersey?
She's like, hey.
That's impressive. Get her on the podcast.
Oh, Dad. Hey, Dad.
Get her on the podcast. I want to hear what she has to think about the Jersey Shore.
Next time, light a match. You know what I'm saying?
Apparently, there's these gross flies on the Jersey Shore that bite you.
Yeah. They're called Guidos.
Ba-dum-bum.
Anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page, /Game Classy Podcast. You can also like the Planet Arbitrary Facebook page. And you could also listen to the Planet Arbitrary podcast as well, which includes Play On Podcast, which has Steve as a co-host. I think part two of their epic rant about
Durstany.
Probably Amiibos.
Durstany. We don't rant about Amiibos. We gush about Amiibos.
You gush about
we
Amiibos.
Gush.
It's true. We'll probably be up shortly. And also, we can have Comic Book Logic. We just did our one Halloween episode, which is Hellboy. And our next Halloween episode, Blade, will be dropping soon as well.
I guess next week we should just talk about spooky games.
I'll look up
some spooky games in my repertoire.
We tried doing that like 2 years ago.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we ever try
and
to
you
do
were
it?
Just like, zombie games are bullshit. I think that was it.
I'll you know what? There you go. I will look up some good spooky games that have nothing to do with fucking zombies.
Okay, spooky games.
Oh fuck yeah!
That was wonderful. That was
all right, good.
I thought you were gonna throw up or have a heart attack, one of the two.
No, I was definitely farting.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. You throw off my rhythm now. Best way you can help the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. If you don't want to listen on iTunes or any of the other methods out there, we also have the YouTube page, the Game Classy YouTube page, where you could, you know, put comments, I guess. I don't know what people do.
You can also make rebuttal videos.
Rebuttal videos?
I'm waiting for someone to do a sweet rebuttal video to one of the things just like, you guys are fucking wrong about Space Marines. They're fucking sweet.
If I hear you guys mispronounce Reboot Gilliam's name one more time.
Reboot Gulliman.
Reboot Gulliman. That would
be the best is if he tried to correct us, but he said it wrong because we said it wrong so many times. He's like,
you're saying Reboot Gulliman. Oh, no. If you actually knew how cool Lemon Russ was.
Yeah, exactly. And he just catches himself and he's like, oh. Realizes what he's done, and he's
like,
he's lost.
We're watching it. We're like, why did he leave that in the video? Why couldn't he just edit that out?
He wants the raw story. He wants the real deal.
He wants truth. There's truth in his art. Another way that you can keep in contact with us is through the Game Classy subreddit, Our Game Classy. Jesus Christ, Steve. Now you're actually like fogging up the room.
Tootin'.
So until next time.
Check it. Reading Rainbow the RPG. So someone plays as LeVar Burton, and everyone else plays as the people trying to make an episode of Reading Rainbow. So there's a cameraman, there's a director, and the GM is doing the viewer response. So at the end, you see what the ratings of that episode were and how much people liked the books.
This sounds like our 80s TV game that we came up with years ago.
Well, no, the 80s TV game was about actually doing the show, like fictionally, like, you know, having like 80s characters like fighting and stuff. This is actually role playing as like so you'd role play as a cameraman.
Well, no, that's what we did. What we did was
sitcom.
Yeah, the sitcom RPG
but everyone was characters. So like, you'd be like George or Elaine.
You had to pick your thing and then you got points based upon whether or not you were actually.
But that's different because this is a behind the scenes
thing of making Reading Rainbow. I like it.
Yeah. So you don't like the LeVar Burton actually probably should be the GM. So like he'd be like I turn to you, I'd be like, and that's when, and you're like, oh, wait, I roll. I got to get him on camera. And you like roll the dice and you're like, 15. I go, perfect shot. LeVar looks great. No, like, no, no. You note it on your character sheet, and you're like, fuck yeah.
No, no, LeVar has to be an actual player. You have to have a person being LeVar, okay. Cameraman.
He's making charisma producer, rolls.
Charisma rolls.
All right, it's fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like then you have to have a guest star. Like, the guest star person comes on. It's like, here's Whoopi Goldberg, you know, and we're taking a tour of the Star Trek The Next Generation set.
I saw that episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
Awesome.
I think we're going to end it right there.
No, it's fine.
Game classy.